Let's turn in our Bibles at this time to Psalm 22 for our scripture reading today. I'll read the first and the odd-numbered verses, and we'll read on through verse 19. We ask you to join in the reading of the even-numbered verses, and shall we stand as we read the Word of God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?
O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent.
But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them.
They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded.
But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people.
All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying,
He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.
But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me to hope when I was upon my mother's breast.
I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help.
Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around.
They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death.
For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet.
I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me.
They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture.
Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Let's pray. Father, we do ask that you would just really minister to us today through the word. Open now our hearts, Lord, and let them be receptive to the word and to the teaching of the word this day. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for the marvelous prophecies of the scriptures that tell us of your love and of your purposes that you were going to accomplish in and through our lives. And so, Lord, bless, as we turn now and open your word, speak to our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we finish the Gospel of Luke this week. We'll be taking chapters 23 and 24 tonight, so we encourage you to read them over this afternoon, and then join with us at 7 o'clock as we gather, and that will be the new time tonight. We'll change our clocks after service this morning, but we'll meet tonight at 7 o'clock for the evening service. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to Luke chapter 24 and verse 32, where we read that they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Burning hearts. The disciples who had been on their road to Emmaus after the death of Jesus, and as he met them and walked with them on the path, when he finally revealed himself and disappeared, they realized who it was. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn as he talked with us in the way, and he opened to us the scriptures. Burning hearts, heartburn. This is the kind you need, the kind that comes from, you know, just hearing the Lord speak to your heart and minister to you. The church basically has three calendar days that stand out above others: Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter. They are closely related in that they celebrate three of the momentous events in the life of our Lord: the day that we celebrate his birth, the day that we remember his death, and the day that we celebrate his resurrection from the dead. That baby who was born in Bethlehem was heralded by the angels, and he was destined from the beginning of time to die a cruel death upon the cross, that God might demonstrate just how much he does love each of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, seeing he has not believed on the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believed upon his name, who were born not by the will of man, but by the will of God. So when the angels announced to the shepherds the birth of Christ, they said, "There is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The Savior. He is the Savior of whom, the Savior of what, and how does he save? Jesus announced the purpose of his coming. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost." And so those who do not know him are lost. He came to save them from their sin. How does he save them? By taking away their sin. The wages of sin is death, and so we've been saved from death through Jesus by his taking away our sin. And how does he save? Well, by taking our sin, the guilt of our sin, upon himself, dying in our place. He died for our sins. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. His death on the cross was something that God had foretold long before it ever happened. And he came for the very purpose of giving his life as a sacrifice for our sins. The prophet said, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." All we like sheep, we've gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own way, and God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:18, "For you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your empty manner of living that you learned by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And who in his own self bare our sins in his own body there on the cross, that we might be dead to sins and alive unto righteousness. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God and put to death in the flesh, but made us alive in the Spirit. In Hebrews 10:4 we read, "For it was not possible that the blood of bulls or goats could take away our sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not want, but you prepared me a body, and you have no pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin.' And then I said, 'Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written, to do your will, O God.'" Jesus is declaring that the volume of the book, or the Bible, the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, was written of him. And so he came, he said, "As it is written in the volume of the book, to do thy will, O God." In our text this morning, there in verse 25, we first see Jesus on the afternoon of the day that he rose from the dead. He had joined with two of the disciples who were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. He was incognito, and as he walked with them, he asked them and said, "Why is it that you guys look so sad?" And they answered and said, "You must be a stranger around here if you haven't heard what's been going on." And he said, "What? What things?" And they said, "Oh, there was this man, Jesus from Nazareth, and he went around doing good, healing all manner of sicknesses, and we had hoped in him for the resurrection from the dead. We had hoped, but that hope is dead. We had hoped that he was the Messiah, but that hope is dead." They crucified him, and they said, "This is the third day." Some of the women from our group said they went to the tomb, and they saw that it was empty, and the angels there told them that he had risen from the dead, but they didn't see him. Others went to the tomb, and sure enough, it was empty, but they didn't see him. And Jesus said, "Oh, fools, slow of heart to believe. Don't you realize that the Messiah had to suffer and die?" And he began, it says, with the law and then through the prophets, and he expounded to them the scriptures that spoke of him. And, you know, this is something that I wish Cleopas, one of the two disciples, would have written down. I'd give anything if we could have Jesus talking about himself, opening up and expounding the scriptures that referred to him. Wouldn't you love to have that? You know, Jesus pointing out all of the scriptures and how they related to him prophetically. As he said, "I've come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O Lord." And so it's one of those things that God evidently saw fit not to put in, but I'm sorry he did that, because I'd have loved to have had the account of what the Jesus was saying about himself, pointing out the scriptures that were prophetic of him. As he took the book of Moses and he began at Moses, I wonder what he taught them out of the book of Moses. There in Genesis 22 where the scripture tells us how that God spoke to Abraham and said, "Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom you love, offer him as a sacrifice on a mount that I will show you." And so Abraham saddled the donkey, and Isaac and two of his servants began to go to that place that God was showing Abraham, where he was to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering unto the Lord. And after journeying for 3 days, and don't you know that during that 3 days, the heart of Isaac was filled with confusion and heaviness? Confused that God would ask him to offer his son as a burnt offering sacrifice to God. It confused him because God had promised, through Isaac, your seed will be called. God promised that through Isaac, the Messiah would actually come. And how could the Messiah come through Isaac when he wasn't married yet, had not yet had any children, and yet God is saying, offer him to me as a burnt offering. So Abraham somehow figured, God, you've got a problem. I don't know how you're going to work this one out, but I know that you've promised that through Isaac, my seed shall be called, and now you're asking me to sacrifice him as a burnt offering unto you. And he figured, maybe God is going to raise him from the dead. And so he was believing in the resurrection of Isaac from the dead. Somehow, God is going to keep his word that through Isaac, the seed will be called. And so he came to the place that the Lord showed him. And so he said to the servants, you wait here. I and the lad, we're going to go and worship the Lord, and we will come again. And so Abraham came with Isaac, and as they were going up the hill together, he said, Dad, missing something. We've got the fire. We've got the wood for the sacrifice, but we don't have a sacrifice. And Abraham said, Son, God will provide himself, Jehovah Jireh, he will provide himself a sacrifice. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. A very interesting prophecy. God will provide himself a sacrifice. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Interesting, this very mount that the Lord led Abraham to was Mount Moriah. It was there in Jerusalem. And it was really one of the seven mountains of Jerusalem. And Mount Moriah is, when you think of the statement of Abraham, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, it was on Mount Moriah that 2,000 years later, Jesus was hanging on the cross as the Lord provided himself a lamb for the sacrifice, and it was seen 2,000 years later when God provided his only begotten Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. So we read that Abraham was ready to offer Isaac when the Lord stopped him and said, okay, Abraham, that's far enough. Behold, there's a ram caught by its horns over there in the thicket. Go get the ram and offer it unto me, which he did. And he called the place, the Lord will provide. Was it by accident that this is where the Lord had led Abraham 2,000 years before Christ? Or was it by divine design that God was showing in advance what he was going to do in offering his only son to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world, the sacrifice for our sins? Maybe as they were sharing with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, maybe Jesus was sharing with them out of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50, where it said, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to those that had plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, as they had watched their Lord being just abused at his death. Maybe Isaiah 52:14, where the prophet said, many who saw him were shocked, for his face was so marred, he could not be recognized as a human being. Or maybe it was Isaiah 53, or maybe all of them. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep had gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own ways, and God laid on him the iniquities of us all. When Jesus and the two disciples arrived at Emmaus, Jesus acted like he was just going to continue on his way, but they constrained him to at least stay and eat with them. And it was while they were eating, as he took the bread and broke it, blessed it and broke it, that they recognized it was Jesus. Perhaps they saw the scars in his hands as he broke the bread. And as soon as they recognized who it was, he disappeared. And they turned to each other and they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us on the way, as he opened the scriptures, the burning hearts? And, you know, we pray that God, as we are bringing to you the scriptures, that God, by his Holy Spirit, will just cause your heart to burn. That the reality and the truth of God's word will really, you know, speak to your heart today and realize, you know, this is all real. God spoke of it in advance, and now he is allowing it to come to pass, just like he had allowed to be prophesied. And so Jesus said to them, well, actually, they hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, we saw him, we ate with him, you know, and he walked with us on the road, and he opened the scriptures to us. And as they came back to Jerusalem, and you betcha that they made fast tracks back to Jerusalem. You know, they were just plodding out towards Emmaus. I imagine just kicking rocks, discouraged and all. You know, it's all over. Where are we going to go from here? What are we going to do? And now they've seen the risen Lord, and they want to tell the other disciples that he is risen. And so I imagine that they could have won the marathon had they been in it going back to Jerusalem that evening. And they told the disciples, you know, we've seen the Lord. And, you know, he was walking with us. And he went to Emmaus walking and talking to us. And as they were sharing, suddenly Jesus appeared to them there in the room where they were gathered. And Jesus said to and spoke to them, and he said, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that these things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And thus Jesus is basically asserting that the Old Testament is written about him in the Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets. It all is about Jesus. He told the Jews there in John 5:39, you do search the scriptures because in them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me, and you won't come to me that you might have life. Jesus is recorded as saying in Hebrews 10:7, "Then I said, lo, I am come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Jesus is declaring that the whole Old Testament was written about him. Here he speaks not only of what Moses and the prophets declared, but he adds, and also the Psalms. What Psalms do you suppose Jesus expounded to them? No doubt, those that told of the sufferings of the Messiah. 1,000 years before Jesus was born, David prophesied of his death by crucifixion. We read it this morning as we read Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the cries of my distress? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, and you did not answer in the night and was not silent. But you are holy, O you that inhabits the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted you and you delivered them, but they cried to you and you heard. But I am a worm, not a man. I am reproached by man. I am despised by the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot at their lip at me. He goes on to quote to them the 22nd Psalm, perhaps. I may see all my bones. They look and stare at me. They part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. Do not be far from me, O Lord. O my strength, make haste to help me. Knowing that this was written 1,000 years before, and now the disciples have actually seen it, it has been fulfilled, don't you know that as he opened up the scriptures to them, that their hearts must have burned? And I pray that your heart will begin to burn as you realize that Jesus did fulfill all of these prophecies spoken so many years in advance, that he is indeed the promised Messiah. Perhaps Jesus reminded them of Psalm 69, where the psalmist said, "They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Perhaps he pointed them to where David said, "You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." And how David could not have been speaking of himself, but of the resurrection of Jesus, that he was not left in hell, but he rose again the third day. As we look at Jesus in the Bible, we see, of course, as I said, the three major events: his birth. We see that little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We see the shepherds drawn to stand in wonder at this little child, and that the angels had declared was the Savior. He was Christ, the Lord. And over the manger, however, there is the shadow of the cross, because he came for the purpose of dying for your sin, and to save you from the consequence of your sin, which is death. Again, we consider the witness of John. He said, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was light, and the light was the life of men. He came to his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power to to become the sons of God, even to those who believed on his name. And so we realize that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, fulfilling prophecies one after another as he came and as he manifested the power of God and the love of God to the people. And the ultimate demonstration of God's love is there at the cross, where he took your sin and my sin, that we would not have to perish, but could have eternal life through him. And that's what it's all about today. The opportunity that God is giving to you now to pass from death into life, to have all of your sins, all of your iniquities blotted out. The disciples who were on the road to Emmaus, as Jesus disappeared, recognized him, and they said, "Our hearts burned within us as he talked and opened the scriptures." Have you heard his voice saying to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, are heavy laden, I will give you rest"? Does that create sort of a burning heart? You mean I can have rest? I can have forgiveness? I can have peace? That's exactly what it means. And as you realize, this is the promise of our Lord. This is the promise of God to you and to me. It causes our heart to just sort of pick up a beat, and making the decision for our eternal destiny, and many of you are doing that just now. You're making the decision whether or not to open your heart and invite Jesus to come in and to take over your life, to cleanse you from your sin, to make you a child of God through your faith and trust in him, that will bring to you the joy and the hope of the eternal life that we all share together today who have made that decision to receive him as Lord and as Savior. You are going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. It all depends on your relationship to Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a choice that the Lord gives to you today, the choice of your eternal destiny. And I don't know, in looking at all of the evidence, how a person could just cast it aside and say, "Well, I don't really believe it, or I don't really understand it, and I just can't accept it. I can't understand that kind of non-reasoning. I just can't understand how a person could want to reject such a wonderful gift that God is offering through Jesus Christ, our Lord." But unfortunately, there are those that do. I pray that you're not of that number, but I pray that all of you this day will have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and are walking and living for him. So, decision time. What will it be? The decision that you make will affect your eternal destiny. You need to know that. And thus, I pray that God will help you, give you the strength, the courage, whatever, to make the right decision and to allow Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to cleanse you. He loves you. He wants you to be with him. He died for you in order that you could be with him. And I pray that this could be the day that you make that decision a firm commitment of your life unto our Lord. Father, we thank you for the work of Jesus Christ and for the fact that he came and he took our sins, died in our place, that we could have eternal life through him. Lord, we just pray now for those that are here, those that are in that valley of decision. Lord, give them the courage and the strength to follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit this day. And let this be the day that they renounce the life of sin. And Lord, that they would live that new life that they can know and enjoy in Jesus Christ. That eternal life that is his gift to us because he loved us. And so, Lord, work now in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's stand. The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you today. If God's been speaking to your heart, and maybe you have a burning heart today, and there's a good cure for it, and that's just surrendering it to Jesus Christ and knowing the joy and the blessings of his love flowing in and through your life. And so I would encourage you, as we're dismissed, don't head for the exits, but head for the altar. And come on down. These men are here to pray with you and to help you to know and to understand Jesus Christ and his love for you and his salvation that he has provided if you would just but receive and accept. And so an opportunity again, giving to you that chance to commit your life to him and to know the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So as we're dismissed, I just pray that as we begin to depart, that you will settle things with the Lord before going home today. It can be one of the greatest days of your life if you'll just but make that decision. The Lord bless thee. And keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give. God bless you. Love you.